Genesis 44, verse 18. Reading from the ESV. Then Judah went up to him and said, O my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not your anger burn against your servant, for you are like Pharaoh himself. Let's go to verse 30. Now therefore, as soon as I come to your servant, my father, and the boy is not with us then, as his life is bound up in the boy's life, as soon as he sees that the boy is not with us, he will die. And your servants will bring down the gray hairs of your servant, our father, with sorrow to Sheol. For your servant became a pledge of safety for the boy to my father, saying, If I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father all my life. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the boy, as a servant to my Lord, and let the boy go back with his brothers. For how can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? I fear to see the evil that would find my father. We're continuing to chapter 45. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, Make everyone go out from me. So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, Come near to me, please. And they came near, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck, and he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him. This is God's word. Today, I want to talk to you guys about relationships and family. And, you know, this is a story. I've been meditating on the story of Joseph. And what we see here is we're coming to the climax of the story, entire story of Joseph. Some commentators say this is the climax of the entire book of Genesis. And what we see here is there are lots of broken relationships that are happening in this family. But God moves in mysterious, wonderful ways to restore, to heal this brokenness, this estrangement, this tension, this distrust in the family and in the relationships. How many of you guys have a broken relationship? And don't raise your hand, but how many of you guys have a painful? You're experiencing some pain right now because of a relationship that you have. Relationship, we can't live without them because we need people. We need to be around people, but oftentimes relationships can be the greatest source of joy in our lives, and yet also the greatest source of pain and grief and heartache. And you see, the Bible is so real because it's giving a very realistic look at this family and all the murderous hate, the jealousy, the anger, the alienation, the favoritism from the father, all this brokenness in relationships, all this brokenness in the family. And we see that God cares about this family. God cares about bringing reconciliation, bringing healing. Where there's broken trust, where there's bitterness and jealousy and deep hurts and heartaches. Because all of us, we live in a broken world and we know what it's like. We know what that pain is like. And sometimes, especially if it's people who we've been close to, who we really trusted in, maybe our family, our parents, our siblings, close friends. When those relationships go sour, when they take a wrong turn, they can get really hard. Life can get really tough. But what we see here is God, He does a beautiful thing in this family. And I think we're going to learn a lot of good stuff. Because, so I just want to give you a little summary of what's been happening with this family, just so we can understand what's happening here. So the last part of Genesis, it's about Jacob and his 12 sons. Now Jacob, he was the grandson of Abraham. And Abraham was the one person who God chose out of all the people on earth. He chose Abraham to receive God's blessing and then also to be a medium or transfer God's blessing, to be a blessing to all the people on earth through Abraham. So God chose Abraham and God chose his descendants, this family. God said, I'm going to bless the whole world through Abraham and his family. So now we come to Jacob. He's Abraham's grandson. But man, Jacob and his 12 sons, this family is so dysfunctional. How many of you guys, you know what it's like to come from a dysfunctional family? Don't raise your hands again. But man, you think, you know, sometimes we feel like, oh, my family, it's so broken. It's so hopeless. You know, if you knew my father, if you knew my mom, if you knew the history that we've been through, maybe you're feeling hopeless today. Maybe you're looking at certain relationships, friendships that you once had. You're feeling hopeless. Oh, the ways that things have gone. But what we see here is that God is committed, because He's committed to us, He's committed to restoring, reconciling the broken relationships in our lives. You see, God wants to use this family to bless the whole world, but how is He going to use this family when there's so much alienation? You see, Jacob, he favored the two youngest sons, particularly Joseph. He was his 11th out of 12 sons, and he favored Joseph. And so all the other brothers, they grew up as the black sheep. You know, they weren't loved. They knew their father just doted on Joseph. And so they were so jealous. They always wanted their father's approval. They wanted his love. They wanted his acceptance. But they knew that they couldn't get it. Joseph was the favorite, the son of Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel. And so what happened was Joseph, when he was young, he was just a teenager, 17 years old. He was very snobby. He was spoiled. He was self-righteous. He was oblivious to what other people felt. And so he went around just boasting about how much his father loved. Daddy loves me. Daddy, you know, he's just like running around saying that to his brothers. His older brothers are like, this punk right here. And then Joseph talks about dreams he has. You guys are all going to bow down to me. You guys, have you guys ever felt jealous of anyone because they're more accepted than you? They're more loved than you? They're more gifted than you? I don't know. And then they just rub it in your face like, hey, I'm better than you. You know what I mean? So, you know, just think about that. And these brothers were feeling that. And so they actually sell him into slavery. They practice human trafficking on their own brother. That's how broken things have gotten in this family. They sell their brother into slavery. Joseph is sold into Egypt as a slave. He goes through many years of hardship. But God does an amazing thing in Joseph's life, because through the favor of God, Joseph rises. He rises in that nation of Egypt, and he eventually comes to rule that whole nation. He's running the politics, he's running the economy, he's overseeing everything. And so that's where Joseph was, and now 20 years have passed since Joseph was sold as a slave. And so that's where we're coming to. That's a summary that brings us up to date. And we see that God, because God is committed to use this family, He wants to use His family to bless all the earth, He is going to bring transformation. He's not going to leave them the way they are. How many of you guys know that? That God is so committed to you. You guys know there's weaknesses in your life. There's flaws. There's things that people just know, like, oh, Paul. You know, Paul is just so... But, you know, I'm being sanctified. So, you know, people don't say that as much about me anymore. But, you know, they used to. Right? People used to say things about me like, man, Paul, he's just hard-hearted. He's just abrasive. He's a bit cold. And that used to be true. Man, a little, you know, a lot less now. But, you know, things that people, you know, we all have weaknesses. We all have rough edges about us. Some of them we might not even be aware. But God is so committed to us. God is so committed to you that He is going to bring certain things into your life to heal you so that you can mature, so that you can grow, even when it's painful, even when it's hard. And that's what we're going to see God doing. He's going to heal this family. He's going to transform them from selfish, hating, angry, oblivious, spoiled, bunch of kids. And as we're going to see, they're growing up and they're maturing and they're becoming very admirable people. People that you can look up to. People that are filled with love and humility and compassion. And it's like, oh, you see what God is doing through the years. But it's a slow work. Because it was 20 years before Joseph saw his brothers. That's a long time. You know, sometimes we feel like, oh, God, can you just work in my family? Lord, can you just work in my dad's life? You know, he's got all these flaws. Look, God, can you just change my wife, Lord? Or my husband, not my wife, right? Can you just please, just this one characteristic about them that makes it so hard. And yet, God often works at a different timetable than we have for other people, than even for ourselves. We think we want to see God, Lord, just microwave this person, bam, zap them with the Holy Spirit, bam! You know, just bring them out and they're all new. And they're ready to go. And God's like, no, that's not how I work. See, I love the story of Joseph because we see that God oftentimes, he works very slowly. And he uses the situations, the sufferings, the pains in our life. But he uses these things and he weaves it all together. Even the dark threads. And he brings it all together to make us into people who are beautiful. Who are compassionate, who are self-sacrificing, who are faithful, who are loving. And so I'm really excited to go over this with you guys. And what we see here is, so this is the climax of this story of Joseph. Right? By this time, Joseph, he is running Egypt, and there's a famine over all the earth, and so all the nations are coming to Egypt because God gave Joseph insight about how to plan ahead for this famine. So the whole world, all the nations are coming to Egypt, and Joseph's brothers, they come. And they come to Egypt, and they don't recognize Joseph, but Joseph recognizes them. And then they bow down to him, and Joseph remembers a dream he had when he was 17. Actually, two dreams, where all his brothers, all his family was bowing down to him. And you can imagine what he's thinking. He hadn't seen his brothers for 20 years. The last time he saw them, they were abusing him, they were violent, they were selling him off into slavery. And so 20 years, now he sees them for the first time. You can imagine the emotions that is going through his heart. All the things that he's feeling. Was he feeling angry? Was all the freshness of the hurts and the wounds, was it coming back up to the surface? Well, what we see is, so we didn't read this part in chapter 42, but he sees them and he deals pretty roughly with them. So what he does is he says, you guys are spies. And then the brothers are like, oh no, we're not spies, we're the sons of one man. He's like, no, you are spies. And so he imprisons one of the brothers, Simeon, and he says, now bring back your youngest brother with you to prove that you're not spies. So the first time, that was the first time that the brothers went to Egypt, but then they had to go back home. They took the food, but they had to come back the second time with their youngest brother, Benjamin, who was now the new favorite of their father. And so they had to come back a second time because the famine was lasting for many, many years. And so they needed more food. And so this is, by the time we come here to chapter 44, this is the second time that the brothers are back in Egypt. But by this time, they're afraid of Joseph. They're fearful. Oh, what if Joseph imprisons us? Or what if he makes us his slaves? What if he abuses us? What if he does all these things? And so here we are. And this is, you know, I think we're going to see three things here. First thing we're going to see is God uses discipline to heal, to transform the brothers. It's because, you know, how many of you guys know, especially the parents, we're the parents in this room, are they in the back? But parents know that kids, if you just let them grow up just the way they are and you don't actually parent them, if you don't discipline them, then you know that as they grow up, there's going to be character flaws, there's going to be weaknesses about them. So parents actually have to use their authority and they have to discipline their children. We all know that. See, one of the things we see in this passage is that God actually has to break into our lives. See, we don't just grow just by being told. We don't change. We don't learn about our weaknesses just by someone telling us. We actually need to experience discipline We need to experience the pain of the consequences of some of our behaviors, of some of our character traits. And as we experience that, that's oftentimes what God uses to bring the necessary motivation for us to change and to grow. Because see, what happened was, these brothers, they sold Joseph into slavery 20 years ago, but they hadn't changed. They were still selfish. They were still the same old brothers. But now, when Joseph starts to deal roughly with them, they start to get afraid for the first time. How many of you guys ever felt like that? Things are going wrong in your life. God, are you punishing me? God, what are you doing in my life? This is what they're feeling, because their consciences are convicting them. They say this numerous times. They say, oh, it's because God is finding out our guilt. 20 years we've been living with this. We've been kind of just burying it, putting it on the shelf, putting it to the side. But no, God hasn't forgotten. God is remembering all that we've done. What is God doing to us in our lives? See, we don't just grow. We don't change just by being told. We have to experience. And God, if we don't repent and if we're not growing, then God will orchestrate the circumstances in our lives. God will orchestrate relationships. God will orchestrate the things in our lives so that we're confronted, so that we can no longer turn a blind eye, so that we can no longer just deny and forget about these weaknesses, these sinful ways about us. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? This, you know, I need some response right here. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about? And so you see, actually, for the first time in the whole book of Genesis, the brothers, they actually talk about God in chapter 42. But the first time their hearts have been opened to God was when they're experiencing discipline. Do you guys know that? If you don't experience pain, if you don't experience hardship in your life, oftentimes that's what God has to use. And this is what C.S. Lewis said, right? God whispers to us in our pleasures, but He shouts to us in our pain. So many times it's through the discipline, the fatherly discipline of God, when He brings that pain into our lives, that finally our hearts crack open. Our hearts are so hard. We have become so self-righteous. We have become so self-justifying. We have become so proud, so hardened to our sins, to our folly. And finally, God says, you can't ignore this anymore. Bam, I'm gonna just leave you in that place of pain. And it's like, oh, Lord. And this cry begins to come out of us. See, that's what God is doing here for the brothers. One of them gets in prison. They're living in fear right now. For the first time in their lives, they're being confronted with their need for grace, with their need for God. See, without this hardship, they were going to destroy themselves. This family, even if they were saved physically from the famine, spiritually, they were going to be destroyed. They were in for ruin. I mean, look at what's been happening to this family. The father doesn't trust the sons. The sons don't trust the father. The brothers don't like each other. They're selling one another off. And so God says, here's the way I'm going to enter into their life. Here's the way I'm going to break in. I'm going to bring this discipline. I'm just going to leave them there so that their hearts slowly, the hardness, the coldness can begin to melt away and begin to open up and to cry out to me and to see their need of me. See, true forgiveness breaks a man. Do you guys know that? You know, if you just think, oh yeah, God forgives me, but when you come face to face with your sins, and God just shoves your face in your sins and you just can't escape, and you're just like, oh! And when God does that, and you finally begin to experience His mercies, His forgiveness, that kind of forgiveness will break you. That will break the hardness of your heart. That will break through, that will soften you, so that you can become someone who is humble, who's tender-hearted, who's compassionate. See, so that's what God's doing. See, a lot of times, God doesn't answer our prayers for material things, for our circumstances. We're like, God, Lord, what are you doing in my life? Why does my life look like this? What about this job? God, I thought you were going to fulfill these promises. And God's like, I have a bigger plan for your life than just you getting the material things, the circumstances that you think you need. No, I'm out to do something better. I'm out to make you into a beautiful person. My purposes in your life are so much greater than your finite little... You know, this past week, we were at the Campus Pastor Summit. We were at the staff retreat, and there was a bunch of, you know, there's a bunch of parents there. A lot of our staff, they have young children. And, you know, the children are like, oh, daddy, mommy, can I have this? And how many times in just 1 week I saw, no, you can't. You can't have that. Let's think about it, which basically means no. And a lot of times because... It's because the parents know what's better for the child. Their desire is for their child not just to get everything that their heart thinks they need, but to actually grow up, to become a person who is beautiful, who is wise, who is humble, who is faithful. See, if a parent to a child, the child has no idea what the parent is up to in their lives. Sometimes they have to bring discipline. How much more higher is God over us? You know, like, God, what are you doing in my life? I don't understand. What are you up to? See, a lot of times we don't know what God is up to, but we have to learn to trust Him. That His purposes for us are good, that He's doing something good. Charles Spurgeon, he said, we have to trust God when we can't trace Him. You can't trace the outlines, the designs of what He's doing. But we can trust that His ways are good. His ways are higher. Good. You know, one of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis. He says this. Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you understand what He is doing. He's getting the drains right. He's stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing and you were not surprised. But presently, He starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make sense. What on earth is He up to? The explanation is that He is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were going to be made into a decent little cottage. But He is building a palace. He intends to come and live in it Himself. See, a lot of times, God has to break us. God has to demolish things, habits, patterns that have been building for years and years. And it feels like it's hurting so much. God, what are you doing? But His vision for you is so much. Do you know God's vision for your life is so much bigger? You know, you think you have dreams for your life? God's like, those are your dreams? You want to get a good job? That's nice, but like that's your dream for you. You wanna have financial security? You wanna have a good family? Those are good things. But God's like, my purpose for you is so much bigger. But you're like, Lord, but I don't understand. God, I've been waiting for you. You promised me certain things. It's not coming at my timeline. You're not fulfilling according to what I think I need. And God wants us to learn to trust Him. His work in our lives. And you see, what God is doing here for these brothers. See, 20 years ago, they had sold their brother into slavery. But this time, they're put in the same exact position. You know, as I was meditating on this, it's the same. See, Joseph is actually putting them to the test. Because what happened 20 years earlier? It was their younger brother, who their father, Jacob, favored. And they sold him. They said, me before you. My life is more important than yours. So they sold him off. They lied to their father. Oh, your son, we think he was killed by an animal. Heartless to their brother. Cold and indifferent to their father. Chapter 44, what's happening? Same thing. This time, it's their younger brother, Benjamin. The new favorite of their father. And their father still favors Benjamin. Jacob, he's so slow, this guy. Right? He's not learning. Jacob, you've been poisoning your entire family because you favor your son. And you're doing it again. You're repeating the same thing. How many of us, we feel like, oh, my father, my brother, you know, if they just keep doing the same thing, they never learn. Maybe the sons, they wanted their father to change. But God's purpose was for them to change, was for them to grow. Even when their father stays the same. So they have their younger brother, who's still the favored one. They grew up with all these wounds, this longing for their father's approval. They're still not getting it, even as grown adults. And Joseph puts them in a position. He says, just give me your younger brother, Benjamin, as a slave. The rest of you can go free. Same exact position as 20 years ago. But 20 years ago, they sold their brother for just a few pieces of silver. Now 20 years later, it's not just for silver, it's for their lives. They can be set free. What are they going to do this time? Joseph is putting them to the test. Let's see if my brothers have changed. I knew what they were like 20 years ago. If they continue that same way, they're headed for ruin. And so what happened? See, in those 20 years, there was discipline. There was pain. Judah, who has now become the leader, he had lost two sons. Public humiliation. That's another sermon. Actually, I preached that a few weeks ago. Go check it out on podcast. And now they're being disciplined again. They're like, God has found out our guilt. God is disciplining us. What is God doing in our lives? See how their hearts have been being broken down. Will they give their youngest brother up again as a slave? No. This time, what does Judah say? He represents the brothers and he says, don't take my brother. Take me. Put me instead. Not my life instead of his. No, not my life before him, but his life before me. 20 years ago, he could care less what his father thought, whether his father was grieved if he lost his favorite son, because he was so hurt. He was acting out of bitterness, wounds, pain. He's still feeling that. But this time, he's risen above it. He's still carrying those same wounds from his father. But he still, now this time, he loves his father. He has compassion on the father who still doesn't love him. And he says, I will sacrifice my life. I can't bear to see the look on my father's face. The grief, the heartache. He will go down with gray hairs to Sheol, to the grave. It's a very moving speech that Judah's doing. But you see, what God is doing is he's not only bringing repentance in Judah's heart or in his mind, but he's actually producing fruit in his actions, in his behavior. He's actually living a life of compassion, of self-sacrifice, of loving and caring for people who have hurt him. How many of you guys know that's really hard to do? Maybe in your family, you have a mother, you have a father. A certain way all your life, your relationship has been strained, alienated. And you feel like, man, if they would just change, if God would just... But what God does oftentimes is he begins to work in our hearts so that even when our family doesn't change, even when people don't change, even though they've hurt us, wounded us so deeply, and they have no idea the kind of pain that they've caused in our lives, that God matures us, he makes us into people who can not only forgive, but actually demonstrate by action self-sacrifice. That would have cost Judah a lot. He was willing to go into prison, away from his family, away from everything he had known, for someone who had hurt him throughout his life. That was the grace of God breaking into Judah's life through the pain, through the suffering. You guys see what God is doing? It's amazing what... See, God is so committed to this family. Sometimes he will bring discipline. Sometimes he'll bring suffering because he wants to make us like Judah. He wants to make us beautiful people. He's committed to us. You see, and so because the brothers have changed, because they've grown, Joseph was testing them. And this is the moment when Joseph realizes, my brothers are different. They're no longer what they were like 20 years ago. So this is the very moment, this is the climax of this entire story. Judah gives this moving speech, don't take my brother, take me. And as he does this, this is the moment that Joseph reveals himself. See, reconciliation now was finally able to happen. See, Joseph, he had forgiven his brothers. See, he loved. If you follow the story, if you follow the narrative, Joseph is not angry with his brothers, but he's bringing discipline into their lives. But he still loves them. He's still committed to them. But he needs to see whether they've changed, whether they've grown, whether they've recognized how spiritually lost they were, how selfish and how proud and how hearted. And the moment he sees Judah, this confession, this speech, is the moment that Joseph breaks down and that reconciliation, intimacy, is able to happen. See, by the end of this, the section we read, verse 14 and 15, what's happening? They're crying, they're hugging, they're talking to each other for the first time in 22 years. That's a long time. God works very slow sometimes. Actually, the entire book of Genesis, he works really, really slow. Like, just go read it. He's just like, God, what are you doing? God, you know, it's been like 5 years, Lord. I've been praying. It's like 22 years. And yet, isn't that encouraging? Isn't that encouraging? Because how much hope does that give us? Like, God, you haven't forgotten about my prayers. You haven't forgotten about your promises. You haven't forgot about your good purposes that you said for me over my life, over my family, over my relationships. Lord, it might take 10 years. It might take 22 years. But Lord, I have hope. Because you're still working. Even when I can't see, you're still committed to heal the relationships. Are there relationships where you haven't talked to someone? It got strained over the years. And now it's just like, oh, well, that ship has sailed. That was a nice time. How much hope does this passage give us? How much patience does it give us? This is an encouraging passage. This is an encouraging truth. See, and so finally, they're able to have intimacy in their relationship after 22 years. You know, and this intimacy where Joseph, he's just crying before them. He's just free, authentic with his emotions. You know, and the brothers, they care for each other now. They're looking out for one another, even when it costs them. They're sharing intimacy. Reconciliation. Who would have ever thought that this family could have been a healthy family? And yet, look at what God does. You know, one example that, this is a personal example. I know this is going on video, so I don't usually share such personal stuff. But I was in Sydney for, it's been 3.5 years. And man, the first couple years, they were really hard. Mm-hmm. Right? Actually, you know, man, I feel like a dwarf next to Joseph. Because man, this guy like 22 years, but for, you know, like 2-3 years, like I, you know, experienced a lot of pain. Actually, I was hurt by my community. I was hurt by my campus. I felt like I was in Sydney alone. I felt like there was no one who was for us, who cares for us. Like, what am I doing in Sydney? I don't know anybody here. Like, the church is all I have, but, you know, they just, like, got all these things to say or whatever. And, like, I just felt alone, and, you know, I was hurting. And then, actually, last year at our leadership retreat, last November, God is so funny. So, like, He told my wife, I want you to share at this retreat. And she was like, I don't like sharing. Forget that, right? So God had to say a second time, Jamie, I want you to share. And she's like, okay, God's serious. All right, what does he want us to share? What does he want me to share? I have no idea. But she started thinking about something. But I had no idea because she didn't share with me. And so the second night of the leadership retreat, like by that time, actually my heart was kind of cold towards my leaders. It was kind of hard. Yeah, Jamie Lee, yeah, right? The guest speakers, once they had done ministering that night, they handed the mic to us. And they said, do you guys want to share? And my wife was like, oh, God wants us to share. This is what God meant. And so she had already prepared a couple things. But, you know, I love my wife, but man, she just shared my story. Like my vulnerable, you know, like my fine china, like the sensitive things. And she started telling my story. I'm just sitting there on the side like, should I grab the mic from her? Like, what's she doing right now? And then, you know, inside, I felt like Joseph. Joseph couldn't hold back his tears. And she's just telling my story. I'm just like, oh, snap, right? And then she shared the line that I had told her just a couple months earlier where I said, you know, the church is all I have in Sydney. And she shared that. And man, just the tears just started flooding. Like, I couldn't hold them back. It was like an ugly cry, you know? Like, you know, like all this stuff. And I was like, dang, you know, I was trying to hide. And then once she was done, she's like, honey, do you want to share? In my heart, I was like, no. But I thought, man, if I don't share, they already think I'm hard to know. Like, if I don't share now. So I just got up on the mic, and I had no idea what I was saying. I just rambled on, and I just kept crying. And then a lot of the leaders were crying with me. And I felt so vulnerable, but all the leaders were saying that was the best part of the leadership retreat. That was a breakthrough in intimacy. That was a breakthrough. There was new levels of intimacy, community, happening through that authenticity that I was keeping from them, that I was hiding from them. Yeah. And God was setting that up. You see, a lot of times, God wants to do that in our lives. He wants to bring healing to our families, to our relationships. He wants to bring reconciliation, hope where you felt hopeless, people that you had written off, given up on. Maybe they betrayed you. Maybe they hurt you. Maybe inside you're just holding back, holding inside the pain. But God wants to breathe fresh hope, I believe. In your families, in our church community, on our campuses, on the leadership. Because that's the kind of God that He is. Who would have said about this family that they could be reconciled? Okay, maybe this stoic forgiveness, all right, I forgive you. But this intimacy, Joseph is breaking down. He's being so raw with all his deepest emotions. He's being so free. I am Joseph. I'm the brother you sold. But he's so loving. He says, do not be angry. Don't be distressed. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to get back at you. You sold me as a slave. But don't worry. Don't fear. I love you. You're my brothers. I want our relationship to be restored, to be healed. But do you know how Joseph was able to do that? It's because he got perspective. You see, he was walking with God. But the first time he saw his brothers again after 20 years, they bowed down. He remembered the dream. He started processing. Wow, God had this in his plans decades ago. He knew that we were going to be separated. He knew that they were going to hurt me. But he uses the hard things. He uses evil. He uses suffering. This is how amazing God is. This is how wise and how loving and how sovereign God is. That he can weave all these different lives and all these hardships and all these circumstances, bring them all together, weave them together into a story of reconciliation, of healing, of salvation. And he said, you sent me. No, you sold me, but God sent me. He says it three times, God sent me. Later on in his life, he says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Everything you've done to me, I don't have to get you back. I don't have to make you feel what I felt. Joseph was in prison. He was sold as a slave. 13 years he was suffering. The brothers, a few days. Simeon, maybe like a year. They felt nothing of what he experienced. He didn't feel the need to get back. He forgave them in his heart. He opened up his heart to them. He didn't just keep it closed. He opened up the deepest things of his heart because he got perspective. See, when we're able to see that all the things that are happening in my life, that it's God working purposefully for my good, that God is a loving God, that God is a God of mercy and grace, that he breaks into the hardness, the darkness of my life. Sometimes ways I don't understand, but he does it for good. When we can get that perspective. You see, Joseph, this is not just a theological concept. This is not just something he knows in his mind. This is something he's been living out in his real life experience. He's saying, I know this God. You sold me. God sent me. God meant it for good. God's working all these things. What are the painful things in your life right now? Do you know that God is doing that purposefully and that he's going to bring good out of that? You have no idea what he's doing. You have no idea how he's going to work things out. But you can trust him or you can't trace him. Because that's the kind of God that he is. See what you see what God is doing with this family? He's transforming all of them. Their character, they're maturing. He's reconciling the whole family, all their relationships. Remember, this was the family that God was supposed to use to bless the whole world. 20 years ago, they were nowhere near. It was like, that's like the last candidate. That family? Lord, this family? And God's like, yes. Sometimes we're like, God, you can use me? Do you know like what I've done in my life? There's no way. What I've been through? God's like, yes. I want to use you. All that brokenness, all those failures, all those sins, all that suffering and pain, I'm using that to form you, to forge you, to shape you into someone who can be my channel of blessing to the nations, to the earth, to all the people who don't know me. Yeah. Do you guys know that? God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for your life. God wants to use you no matter what you've been through. If you will submit to his ways, if you will cling to him, even in the darkest times, God will bring all those things together to make you a channel of his blessing, his love, his light. You know, it's amazing. Pastor Christian, he shared that story about me, and it just reminded me of my entire sermon. Because, man, you know, I was a punk. He said I was a young punk. I was a young punk. And I was cold. I was hard-hearted. And yet, the ways of God, he breaks in. Do you guys have hope for your life? Do you have hope for your family? Do you have hope for broken relationships? You have no idea what God will do through the years, sometimes decades. But we can trust him. We can look to him. We can walk with him. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we call you Father because you are a good, good Father. You are so committed to us. Your love, God, is so steadfast. It's never ending. And your desires for us, your dreams for our lives are so much greater, God. Father, I pray that this message, this truth, would breathe fresh hope, God, into the areas of our lives where we're feeling hopeless. That it would breathe, give us patience, long-suffering for relationships that feel strained, that feel broken. God, bring healing to our families. Bring healing to our broken relationships. And also we pray that you would help us to grow, to mature, to be people of such compassion, self-sacrifice, mercy, forgiveness, tender-hearted, just like Joseph, just like Judah, that you would help us, God, to be your channels of blessing to the people around us, to our cities. So, Father, we thank you, God. We look to you, and we trust in you. In Jesus' name.